This weekend, we remember a day 20 years ago when this country was attacked. And over the last 20 years, I've watched documentaries on 9/11. I've read articles about 9/11. I've heard preachers preach on 9/11. And so over the last 20 years, these different things have influenced me, and they influence my sermon today. And some of the people that influenced it, I know, and I will cite in here. But others, I don't know where I picked certain things up from, and they probably should be cited, but I don't know who they were or what they were. And therefore, anyone who may have contributed to my thoughts today, I thank you. 20 years. It's amazing how things change in 20 years. 20 years ago, my daughter Samantha was 6 years old and was starting first grade. Now she's 26 and is working in the athletic department at Lycoming College. My daughter Abby was 2 years old and just learning about Bear in the Big Blue House and how to turn on the TV. And now she's studying neurology at Temple. And my son Ben, well, he wasn't even a thought. he was still a dream, not even born yet. And the list of changes in my life over the last 20 years is large. And I'm sure you can look back over your own lives and recall the changes that have taken place. 20 years ago, the economy was booming. 20 years ago, buying a home or building a home was much easier. 20 years ago, the average national gas price was $1.46. 20 years ago, the public didn't know Billie Eilish or Ed Sheeran or Post Malone or George Floyd. 20 years ago, we had no U.S. soldiers in Iraq or Afghanistan, and the average American didn't even know what jihad was. But 20 years ago today, well, yesterday, something happened that changed everything. The United States of America was attacked and violated by terrorists. Most of us here today, maybe even all of us, really don't have any personal connection to those events, other than that we watched it on TV or on our computers or listened to it on the radio. But those TVs, computers, and radios, they connected us. And we are all connected to that event and to each other because we all have a place. In a car, in the office, at a friend's house, school, a breakfast table. The place we watched it all happen, the place we couldn't move from, the place that we sat speechless and numb, the place we cried. They say that September 11th is this generation's December 7th, Pearl Harbor. And those who remember Pearl Harbor had a place that day as well that they still remember. I know where I was on September 11, 2001. I was in my third week of seminary. We were living in a two-bedroom townhouse at seminary. I had taken my daughter Sam to first grade and was waiting. Jody was at work, and I was waiting for her to come home so that I could go to class, and Abby was playing on the living room floor. And as I waited for Jody to come home, I turned the TV on to see what the weather was going to be. And I didn't see the weather, but I saw one of the World Trade Centers in flames. And I couldn't believe it. And as I watched that live coverage, I saw the second plane and hit the second tower. It was unbelievable. And I was glued to the floor, unable to tear myself away from the TV. To this day, I can vividly see the pattern on the carpet and the color of the walls and how all the furniture was and the smell of the place. I called Jody just to say, "Do you know what's going on?" And she said, "Yeah, they sent us home." And so I waited. I waited for her to come home to my place. We all have a place. What about you? Where was your place that day 20 years ago? We all have a place, and 20 years later, we are still trying to make sense of it all. We're still trying to understand it, and we ask God, why? Why did you allow this to happen? It doesn't make sense to us. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror." The same is true of us today. We can't see the big picture of what was happening that day. We can only see our small, tiny view from where we were in our place. But Paul continued to say, "Now we know only in part, but a day is coming when we will know fully. All things will be made known. Until then, we must continue or be content with what we know and trust God and believe that God is good." There is one question, though, one question people often ask, one question that I think I can answer, and that is, where was God on September 11th? When we read the scriptures, and we hear that Jesus is the good shepherd who leaves his flock to find the one, when we hear Jesus promise that "I will never leave you or forsake you," how do we read that when it's applied to 9/11? I've heard some people say that God was watching and weeping with America that day, as if he was just another person watching these events unfold. But that makes it seem as if God couldn't or wouldn't do anything to stop it. Where was God on 9/11? I have the same question when I read the story that we did from the book of Acts today, the murder of Stephen. Saul and the people allowed their contempt for Christianity and their legalism for the word of God to turn to hate. And they murdered Stephen for simply sharing the good news. They stoned him to death. And the hard part of that story for me is that God did nothing to stop them. Nor did he do anything to stop Cain from killing his brother Abel, or Joseph's brothers from selling him into slavery, or from the Romans killing all male children under the age of 2 in search of the Christ child, or Jesus from being crucified. But the stories are there. We read them. And the endings aren't the way I would have written them, nor is the ending of 9/11 the way that I would have written it. But I wasn't in charge that day. I had no power to alter the events of that day. And why God didn't, I can't answer that. But I can tell you where God was. I want to read to you something that was written by a man named Perry Smith. Perry Smith wrote this in answer to that question. "You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, 'Honey, I'm not going to make it, but it's okay. I'm ready to go.' I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he really wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out for me for help for the very first time in her life. 'I have been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now.' I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was everywhere. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all knew me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me in their very last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling them through the smoke and flames. Come to me, this way, take my hand. Some had never heard my voice before, and a few chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached out to me? September 11, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you, but someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Where was God on September 11th? He was right there. He was not an innocent bystander, but a compassionate, good shepherd. We are told that Jesus walks with us through the storms of life. Well, that day a hurricane landed on New York, Washington, D.C., and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the devastation crossed this country. Where was God? God was in the buildings. He was in the stairwells. God was on those planes. He was on the streets and in every home. And God was with you in your place that day 20 years ago. Even in the midst of evil, God was working out good. In the midst of despair, He was bringing about hope. In the midst of death, He was bringing about life. We said we'll never forget September 11th, and we haven't. But I wish we would remember and never forget September 12th as much as we remember September 11th. Why? Because on September 12th, Americans were united. On September 12th, churches were filled with people. On September 12th, it didn't matter if you were young or old, black, white, gay, straight, Jewish, Buddhist, Christian. It didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat. On September 12th, we were all Americans, and what mattered was what united us, not what divided us. I miss September 12th 20 years ago. 20 years ago, good and evil collided, and not for the first time. For 2,000 years before, they collided, and as ever, Jesus was there. However, on that day, He not only was offering courage and hope and love, but He offered His life to show us that evil does not get the last word. But it's still hard to accept and understand. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that now we can't see God's plans very clearly, but one day we will. However, until then, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those three is love. Love for God, love for self, love for our neighbor, and yes, even love for our enemies. Terrorist. As Jesus proved, and Jesus proved that, and He still does. September 11th was a tragic, painful day when evil uncoiled its ugly head and struck. But we also saw faith, hope, and love come to the rescue. And like Christ, and through Christ, we can see that in the midst of tragedy, life has the power to rise out of the ashes once again, and faith can be rekindled. 10 years ago, on this anniversary, the organist of my church gave me an article from the Guidepost about a woman named Janelle who worked for the Port Authority in the World Trade Center. She was on the 64th floor when the plane hit the building, and she got down to the 13th floor before everything collapsed upon her. For 27 hours, she found herself trapped in rubble. She was the last person who was rescued alive. 11 years earlier, she had lost her mother to cancer. And from that day on, she had turned away from God. She avoided God. She didn't want anything to do with God. But during those 27 hours when she had no other hope, she did what her mother would have done, and she prayed. And she asked for a miracle. Finally, she was able to push her hand through the rubble, and a warm hand grabbed hers, and a soft male voice says, "I have heard you, And I've got you, Janelle. I've got you. The voice said, my name is Paul, and you're going to be okay. You're going to get out soon. Paul also comforted her, saying, don't worry, I've got you. They're almost here. Hang on. Then Janelle heard others coming. Paul said, they're here now. You're in good hands. I'm going to let you go so that they can do their job and get you out. Janelle said she never felt him let go of her hand, but soon she was holding the hand of a firefighter. The crews uncovered her and took her to the hospital where she would spend 6 weeks and undergo 4 surgeries. Janelle said that there were 3 things that she promised God that she would do as soon as she got out of the hospital. 1, get baptized. 2, marry her boyfriend. And 3, find Paul. The day she was released from the hospital, that morning she married her boyfriend. That evening, she was baptized. But she still has not found Paul. Who was he? Where did he come from? And how did he know her name? And how was it that no other rescuer saw him? People can debate the reality of Paul, but Janelle knows that she prayed for a miracle and Paul showed up. She celebrates many things today, but most of all, she celebrates her renewed relationship with God. Where was God on September 11th? He was with Janelle underneath all of that rubble. He was with every person in those buildings and on those planes and with each one of us in our place. Unfortunately, some have never left that place. 20 years later, I still hear people angry about this, and they're still seeking revenge. They still want to make people pay. They still want to go over and turn that place into a parking lot. Even though Osama bin Laden and many of those responsible are no longer alive, they still hold hatred for Muslim people, no matter what their country of origin is. So when we say that we will never forget, does that really mean we'll never forgive? But that's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to forgive. He taught us that we are to pray for and even forgive our enemies. Our enemies. So how should we as Americans remember and honor those whose lives were lost 20 years ago? Do we allow our hurt to turn into hatred? Do we despise and insult all Muslim people? Do we stay in our place and fixate on the pain and death of that day? Or do we remember the heroes, the bravery of the first responders and those on the ground, and the people on those planes that day? Will we remember this tragedy and the chaos of the day? Or will we remember the miraculous stories like Janelle's, or like the Bible that was found intact in the rubble, or the steel girder cross that fell out of the North Tower? Will we remember and retell how evil attacked that day? Or will we praise God and celebrate His presence on that day? How should we remember September 11th? In the Bible, we read of terrible events: Joseph being sold into slavery, Israel's collapse, the exile to Babylon, the kidnapping of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the destruction of the temple, and the crucifixion and death of God's Son, Jesus. And I'm sure that those people who experience those tragedies on those days feel the same way we did 20 years ago. There was fear, there was anger, there was hatred. They wanted revenge. But I want you to notice, go back and read those stories, and notice that the stories never center on, they never focus on the tragedy, the destruction, and the anger. Rather, instead, they focus on faith, hope, and love. They center on what God was doing in the midst of all the tragedy and horror. These stories of Scripture always end with God rising so that the shamefulness of evil will not be feared or seen as overcoming good. If we truly want to honor those who lost their lives, then we need to stop focusing on the evil and destruction of that day. And instead, we need to let go of the anger and hatred. We need to forgive. We need to start retelling the miracles that happened that day and how God was there in the business he was carrying out in those places that day and still does today. Jesus said we should love our enemies and pray for those who oppress us so that we may be called the children of God. He also said, love one another as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. On that day 20 years ago, strangers reached across boundaries of faith, race, nationality, class, and political affiliation to unite with one another in faith, hope, and love. Where was God on September 11th? God was there empowering people with faith, hope, and love. And the greatest was love. How will you remember September 11th? Will it be as a day of infamy, of pain, sorrow, death, and hate? Or will you remember it as a story of God's presence, God's compassion, God's grace, God's forgiveness, and God's love? I hope and pray that we will retell the tales of that day as a day that God enabled the people of America to unite and overcome evil. That the events of September 11th will be retold as the stories of faith, hope, and love, and of divine presence. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we do remember. But Lord, help us to move beyond the remembering. Help us to move on to the forgiving. Help us to move on to loving even those who did these terrible things. Yes, Lord, we want justice to be had. But Lord, justice is yours. Lord, I pray that you help us to honor those men and women, believers and unbelievers alike, who step forward, who lost their lives. And Lord, I pray that you help us today, though, to help the healing by not remembering the hate and the anger and the hurt, but moving forward with love and compassion. Lord, we pray that you be with us and protect America, that there may never be another attack like that. But if there is, help us to remember that you will be there with us. You will walk through that storm with us, and you will keep us in your grace. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.